Here, that's just a rundown in rudimentary terms of all of the basically material things that we could deal with. However, we will not talk about boats, shirts, butter toast, or any of that tonight. We'll talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about. And if you feel like it, why don't you go over to the coasttocoastam.com homepage in the highlights carousel. Freaky meat-eating sponge found. Yes, if flesh-eating bacteria was not enough, freaky meat-eating sponge found. I just hope it wasn't found by somebody's kitchen sink. Anyway, the shark and the helicopter, Coast Zone, and Mile High Mystery, yes, UFO sightings in sky over Denver. Super volcano rained acid on both poles, but wasn't so bad after all. The women living in Chernobyl's toxic wasteland. When you're visited by a copy of yourself, stay calm. And Bulgarian archaeologists find golden treasures in ancient Thracian tomb. See why you need to go to coasttocoastam.com? Yep. All right, Naked Lines tonight on screen. Got a bank of calls here. Everybody from Canada to New York City and Culver City, California. And much more as we make it on through to the other side, which will be Saturday morning. It's Friday night right now. John Wells in for George Norrie. Pleasure to be with you. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. All righty then. Wild 4 from Santa Rosa, California. It is the one, the only, the man with a six-bit handle. He is, in fact, the Toxic Reverend. Come upon the bridge, Reverend.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wells. I tell you, great job you're doing. I really admire your show.
Well, thanks. What's going on with you?
I had one of those situations, you know, sometimes the urgent things get in the way of the important. And I feel like I'm in one of those situations. I was reading over one of Alex Jones from Prison Planet. So the title of the article was Sandy Refugees Complain of Prison-like Conditions at FEMA Tent Camp. Mm-hmm. And I'd spoke with Keith McHenry, he's the co-founder of Food Not Bombs. I guess a few days ago, he was trying to get through supplies and FEMA stopped them. And now he's in there, and I'm hearing that Food Not Bombs and some of the people from Occupy Wall Street started in Occupy Sandy, and they're doing more to help people and feed people than our own government and the FEMA people. And
why does this not surprise me, you know?
Yeah, I posted some of their information. I didn't know if it was okay to give some of their addresses out or where I have it posted so that people that are there that might need it, there's phone numbers and emails where they can get supplies or make donations or, you know, where they can get help in those places.
That'd be okay with me if you can do it quick.
Okay, there's a Food Not Bombs. That's Keith McHenry. He's at, I believe it's .net. Yeah, foodnotbombs.net. And I have it all posted. I also posted it at the Coast to Coast Google Plus profile in the comments on the first one. I have a Google Plus. If anyone does Google Plus Toxic Reverend on a search, my page will come up. It's the first thing posted. Drop down the menu. You'll find all the information people need to contact. And that's that one. It also lists at the bottom in the comments is the Occupy Sandy people. Now, the other one that got me was with Project Censored. They came out with their book of their top 25 censored stories in the news media for this year.
Yeah.
And they're projectcensored.org. And some of the things they're talking about is how the damage of Fukushima is underrated. And I found out that the Union of Concerned Scientists that consists of like over 50 Nobel laureates with their integrity and science program are having a webinar Tuesday on this nuclear safety issue. And I also emailed it off to Eugene Kapansky. He's the gentleman that found the flame virus that, you know, it comes into Suffolk and that attacked the nuclear programs, power plants. Yes, all that's coming up on Tuesday, and that's the important one, the way I see it. It's I think the entire world is in jeopardy when we have those type of things going on. So I wanted to give the Union of Concerned Scientists a plug. They're the Union of Concerned Scientists was UCSUSA.org, I believe. But if anybody Googles Union Concerned Scientists, their page should come right up. And that is my information dump on that, because Thomas Hartmann and others had talked about the radioactive plume in the ocean water is really just getting past Hawaii and heading towards the West Coast, should be here by next summer, spring sometime. And the government, people, the media, they're not warning people or telling them or really discussing, you know, what they can do to protect themselves. So, well, I wanted to bring that to your attention. And I'll tell you, if you guys want, I can give you the contact information for people like Keith McHenry or the gentleman running the webinar for the Union Concerned Scientists. If
anybody just send it to me. I'll get it out there. I'll get it over to command, and whoever wants to put it up or get it out during the broadcast, we will. Okay.
Sir, thank you. I'll send you an email in a few minutes.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Rev. Appreciate you a lot. All righty then. How about Xenia in New York City on Wild 2? Did I say that right?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
No, no worries. Did I say your name correctly? I said Xenia.
Yeah, Xenia.
Okay, good.
Okay, thanks.
All right, I can still read the X. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I wanted to respond to what a previous caller said, she called in saying that she thought something was really fishy about all these mass shooting stories and the way they're presented, and just something doesn't add up right. And I'd like to give a big resounding yes and give you guys or share some information about someone who's researched and found that basically there's a whole bunch of absolutely fake news stories that are being foisted upon us. I don't know if you've ever heard of someone named Ed Chiarini. He's got a great website called Well Aware One with a number one.
Yes.
And he's done a lot of research. Basically, he's found that there's a handful of people who kind of have one foot in the government, like CIA, Mossad type things, and one foot in ownership of Hollywood, you know, media outlets, you know, multimedia outlets. And he's, for example, he's done research looking into the Gabrielle Giffords shooting. He says it was absolutely fake. These things are often coordinated with multi-jurisdictional exercises, and then they get, you know, like I said, foisted on us as real news stories. The Colorado shooting, there's so many medical mistakes in what they're presenting, and you know that he's found the same handful of actors. He's you know, pegged them, you know, the same people in that shooting video and that one, and found a lot of the same actors in the Occupy Wall Street leadership. Yeah,
I have a feeling really, that the same 6 degree of separation that applies to people that, you know, they say you're only 3 or 4 people away from anybody in the world. I have a feeling that that same separation factor can be applied to all of the stuff that is happening generally in the world. All the bankers know each other. You know, even the politicians who are supposed to be on opposite sides of the aisle, they're friends. A lot of them hang out together. They're just taking care of business.
Well, it's one thing when they're to have them be friends. It's another thing for them to have them be absolute actors who are acting in multiple roles, and then also acting as our politicians under fictitious names.
Well,
and
yeah.
Some of the things that he's discovered, it's really, you know, amazing research and just jaw-opening. He's got, there's a lot of his videos on YouTube that, you know, go and explain and reveal all the characters that he's discovered. And, you know, his website always keeps getting taken down and up. So, you know, you can usually...
We might have to have him on the program sometime.
Yeah, if I could spell his last name, it's C-H-I... Okay, Ed Chiarini, C-H-I-A-R-I-N-I. He's got a Facebook page. He's also got, like I said, wellaware1.com with the number one.
Well, and you seem pretty stoked about him, so maybe we'll talk to him, get him on the program or something. Thank you very much. Okay. I was going to ask her one more thing, but I pulled the trigger just a little bit too quick. Oh, well. Thanks, Zania. Appreciate you. Chris in Toronto on Wild 1. Chris, Naked Lions call you. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. Okay. Doing okay.
I have not encountered any carnivorous sponges, so I guess that probably keeps me ahead of the game, right?
That's just what we need, you know?
Like what would the Latin name for that be? Like Spongiformis carnivora? I don't even know.
I don't know. We need meat-eating rabbits now, you know.
Yeah. So here's my gripes. Not really a gripe, actually. But just kind of want to inform some people. I'm a tarot card reader here in Toronto. I work out of sort of one of the more prominent metaphysical supply stores here. And been noticing an alarming trend with some people, some of my clients mainly, who are sort of encountering other readers. And I know, you know, you can't paint them all with the same brush, but there seems to be this trend lately of people going, seeking help for honest problems, being told that they are, quote, end quote, cursed, and that they should probably hand over anywhere from $1,500 to, in one case, $10,000 over the period of 6 months in cold, hard, untraceable cash, might I add, to have these, quote, unquote, curses removed. And I guess the message that I kind of want to get out there is just, like, don't do it. Don't. Like, that's completely ridiculous. There are so many ways, as a matter of fact, superior ways for people to sort of take control of their own problems. And, like, particularly with myself, like, what we do is we actually coach people through these issues and teach them how to, correct their situation.
Yeah.
Which is more the way that I believe that it should be done, if I'm not mistaken. Like, call me crazy, but that's a little bit much, especially in the instance of this $10,000 situation being out of someone's tuition money.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good, does it? Ouch.
No, seriously, like, you know, and I will, and there's also the other side of it too, is that, you know, there's many different ways to skin a cat. And if an individual isn't particularly comfortable with using, you know, what the rest of the world would consider to be magic, then, well, we got about 16 other ways to do it too. Like, I sort of incorporate life coaching aspects in with what I do as well. And there's so many better ways. And, you know, you shouldn't be forking over your savings account, especially in times like these, you know?
Absolutely not. And believe me, the techniques used to separate people from whatever they have, starting with their money and then going on to any other resources or assets that they have, are going to become more complex,
right,
and much more believable as things get tighter, you know?
Thank you very much. This really, I got to say, I'm going to go on the limb and say this really just grates my grits, man.
Well, just generally, how are things in Canada? I mean, people in Canada seem pretty happy. I mean, you guys are very low profile. You know, our two countries have been friends forever. We help each other on stuff, and nobody knows what it is, you know?
John, I'm so glad you asked, because that's something else. We're not sheltered from this. A good friend of mine has actually labeled Toronto as kind of the growing, you know, sick city, truth be told. We're feeling it just as much as everybody else. You know, it was really funny, because when I went to see George when he was here in June, and he said the funniest thing, as he's wanting to do, he said, you know, I don't think I've ever seen so many condos.
Wow.
That was pretty much what he opened with.
What's up with those condos?
Well, 6 months later, haven't they all ceased development on them because nobody's buying the damn thing? So now we have these, like, phantom structures that are going to hang over our city now because no one's buying them because, well, surprise, no one's got any damn money, John.
Well, we talk with people occasionally from Canada, but while we're here and we have a few million of our closest friends sitting in the global living room with us, what is it like? What just in brief, how tough is it to get a loan for a home up there? And what sort of interest rates are you dealing with? Are they on a line with ours? We have, like, our interest rates on homes now are about as low as they were before World War II, like 3%, 3.5%. But people have trouble getting loans.
Right. Well, interestingly enough, a few of my clients are actually mortgage brokers.
Good.
I can't get any of them to agree. I have one very close one who's actually a friend of mine as well, who basically says, no, it's still good. You can do it. You can do it. And, you know, even for someone like myself, who's not necessarily, you know, I'm doing fair to middling, I guess. And then others who are just like, no, it's too much. It's not going to happen. I got to get out of this. I got to find something else to do. You know, they're too high. They're like, I can't. The short answer, John, unfortunately, is I don't know. Like, I'm encountering conflicting information.
Oh, and, gotcha.
Well, wouldn't be the first time, right? Yeah, right.
No. Like every day, so, all day.
If, seriously. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, thanks for taking some time with us tonight. It's good talking with you.
Man, it was a pleasure. I've been wanting to talk to you for some time. So.
Well, I'm glad you called, and I'll tell you what. One of these days, if all of a sudden I find a lamp and I can rub the genie out of it, I want one of those Canadair F-86 Sabre jets just to fly around the patch every once in a while, because the Canadians built the nicest version of that aircraft ever. It's a Korean Warrior jet, and in fact, it was borrowed from Willie Messerschmitt's Project 1101. We'll have a program in the future on that stuff, and you will find out just how far back some of these wonder weapons, to use the old Wehrmacht term, the Wunderwaffen. Yeah, they've been around for a long time. And much more. Trust me. We'll get to it later. Okay, let's go the other way. Let's go to Rick on Wild 2 in Reno, Nevada.
Hello, Mr. Wells.
How are you, sir?
Good, thank you. I'd like to talk about the Anunnaki and the Nibiru, the planet Nibiru, the people, the Anunnaki, and a metal album which has distilled knowledge thereof, distilled the works of Zachariah Sitchin, and that album is called Battle of the Ancients, and it's by my son's band, Blasphemous Creation.
All right, give me the title again.
Battle of the Ancients.
Battle of the Ancients.
And the band name is Blasphemous Creation.
Blasphemous Creation.
You have the album, you have the CD in your stacks of the emerging artists, and if you don't, I can send it to you. Attention, John B. Wells, if you can have your producer give me the address.
Okay. All right.
There's a song called Sons of Anu, which is a rocker, which is kind of yours in my era, and then the rest of it's pure metal. But that rocker has the metal tinge to it, so it's kind of appeals to everyone, but there's a whole lot of Sitchin in this masterpiece of an album. I don't have the superlatives besides that to give the album.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll just shoot me an email at John B., anybody can do it, John B., J-O-H-N, B as in Bravo, at coasttocoastam.com, that'll give our producers one less thing to do, because they're busy and I can handle this myself. So just shoot me an email and I'll respond to it.
Excellent.
Okay. Now, what's all this about the Anunnaki and Nibiru? We had a man on here recently that corrected my pronunciation on, and I think I still have it wrong. Nibiru. I got to put a little R. What's up with that thing? You know, somebody mentioned Ron Potter mentioned last night the number of planets and the number of notes in the scale and so forth. Pythagoras, the first philosopher, and he got us into having to study geometry and stuff like that. Brilliant man. I wondered years ago, where do the notes come from? And I would ask studio engineers this. They say, well, yeah. I said, no, don't show me a tuning instrument. I know that we're looking for it to go up to 440 and all of that. And I want to know who decided that A was A. And it turns out Pythagoras recorded in his fashion, the sounds of the planets as they made their way across the heavens. So they're in space, and he could hear them. I'll tell you what, if you would like to, Rick, just hold tough for a minute. We'll finish up. We won't just dump you. And we'll take a little quick break and come back with Unscreened Calls tonight. Not Naked Callers necessarily, but certainly Naked Lines. This is Coast to Coast AM. Let's rant, let's rave, let's have some fun. It's Friday night, it's open lines, they're unscreened and therefore naked. And we'll be right back. As a matter of fact, our friend Rick is going to hang with us just a minute more. We'll finish up with him and then get on with y'all's calls, don't you know? All right, this is Coast to Coast AM. Stand by, we'll be right back. We were talking with Rick in Reno, and he was talking about his son's record, Battle of the Ancients, is the name of it, and Blasphemous Creation. So he's going to send me some stuff. I don't know if it's...
Absolutely.
Hey, you know what? I'll be fair and square. If I like it, I'll try and roll some over the air, unless there's some licensing problem, you know.
My son has given me authorization to authorize you to play it over the air.
All right,
as much of it as you want.
Well, several million people heard me, so we got witnesses. We're good to go. Now, well, you were going to say something about Nibiru. What about Nibiru? Right.
The ancients of Egypt and their pyramids made hieroglyphics, giving us clues as to where Nibiru might be. And the film Prometheus takes an expedition to find the place. And I only wish that my son's album were the soundtrack to that film. You know what I mean, John?
Yeah, very good. Well, I look forward to hearing it. You know, I'm going to try and squeeze a CD out of it. You know, I was rambling a while ago about, not rambling, but wandering. At least not aimlessly in search of a thought. And went on that thing about Pythagoras. He made the diatonic scale. The diatonic scale has 10 notes in it, and there are supposedly 10 planets as well. So this Nibiru thing may, I don't know. You know, the problem, Rick and everybody, is that can anybody trust anybody? Can you trust any of the information that you get? No, you can't. That's why you have to vet it yourself.
You have to investigate.
Yep. Parthian shot, and then I'm gonna let you go on with your night. Last thought for the people.
Time. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. It's cool.
You're a gracious guest. Thanks. Thanks. All right. Rick's all right. I look forward to hearing the music too. Okay. Who do we got? We have Madeline. Madeline, west of the Rockies on. West of the Rockies. She's in Fullerton, California. Fullerton. That's where the Fender Electrical Instrument Company, I think, used to be. Are they still in Fullerton? No. That was a long time ago. Anyway, what's going on, Marilyn?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, it's you.
Am I on?
It's all about you.
Awesome. Okay. long-time listener, first-time caller, did not get the number. They were reading them off so fast. I've heard so many good things tonight. I don't know where to start. Originally, the reason I wanted to call you, Don, is, we're talking about these aliens and whatnot.
Yes.
I ran into a man, in the 80s. I was working in Target, and a man came up to me and asked me where the hammers were. And I was in a different section. I said, I can show you where it is. And I swear to whatever it is that's out there. This man threatened me with his mind. He told me that if I moved, in the spot I was in for an hour, he was going to start killing people. Okay? With his mind, he told me this. I knew right then, and I don't know how I knew, but this man, honest to God, was Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Did you hear a voice in your head? Or I mean, this is intense.
Well, I'm kind of a receptor, kind of like a clairvoyant. Yeah. I get, premonitions and whatnot, and I don't know why he picked me. I'm thinking maybe that's why, but oh my God, I mean, to this day, and I've always wanted to tell somebody about this.
Well, this is definitely the place.
There are evil people in this world that can do things like that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
Is that amazing?
Well, that's some kind, people say, well, that's evil. It's like, well, there's evil and then there's evil, hurting somebody's feelings is one thing. Turning into the Night Stalker, that's entirely different. That's some concentrated, serious, heavy-duty evil.
And this is while he was in the throes of it. This is when they didn't know who he was. They had a picture of another guy up there. I called the police. They said, how do you know this? I said, he talked to me with his mind, and they said, okay, kook. Click.
this is so simplistic for some, I'm sure. But I'll tell you, that the wheel is simplistic. A circle is simplistic, except the whole bloody universe runs on it. So maybe not, but I tell you, I've thought about it, and I've looked at it, and I've applied cynicism to it, and scorn and sarcasm as well. But in the end, I come up with one answer, and that is, if all of this really is not a battle between good and evil, absolutely none of it makes any sense whatsoever.
Exactly.
Okay.
There's another thing I wanted to talk about, if you still want to hang with me. I've been hearing a lot of people talking about the ancients.
Yes.
Okay, now,
doesn't matter. You'll think of it in a minute.
The Greek gentleman who was talking about Atlantis and how it was an ancient city back then. Now, you know, they were supposed to have weapons that probably we don't know now today. What are the chances that was aliens versus aliens on that particular continent?
I would say that it's as possible as anything else that is unknown, because there are so many things around the world that indicate, say, that they're not telling us everything. I mean, for example, these giants, 16-foot tall male skeleton with a 14-foot tall female skeleton next to it, they are in a number of museums around the world, but I don't know of any that are in any of our museums. Why is that? Uh-huh. Why is America at the back of the data chain?
These ancient things. Another thing is the ancient Indians have a book that tells how that it took eight days to get to the moon.
8 days to get to the moon.
8 days to get to the moon.
That'd be a nice little cruise, wouldn't it?
There's an ancient text in India that says this.
Well, and you know, there's a Chinese poem that talks about these two lovers. I may be making this up, this part, but it's something, maybe the first emperor of China. Something, and he and his the love of his life were together before the moon was hung in the sky. So I don't know if somebody was just being fanciful, or if maybe they just kind of moved the moon, they, with quotes around it, moved the moon into place sometime after these two got together. I mean, who knows, really? I mean, we had John Lear on here talking about 2 billion people living on the dark side of the moon. Now, that's a stretch, even after I've been drinking me whiskey all night. It's like, I'm not sure if I'm buying 2 billion people on the dark side of the moon. You know? Did you give up?
The energy before the moon, you know? These two could have been, you know, who knows what.
Yep.
And then, one more thing, if you don't mind.
Okay.
They say the human gap is supposedly between the primates and aliens. And that's how we came up with humans. Okay, now we've got the Sphinx in Egypt, and we've got the half man, half horse.
Really?
Oh yeah. What are they called? Centaurians?
Yeah, centaur.
Yeah, and
Hercules, you know, the cartoon, had his buddy was one.
Pardon?
I'm sorry. You remember that? You remember that horrible cartoon, Hercules? And his little buddy was the centaur.
That's what brings it to mind, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry. I'm a bad influence.
No, it's okay. Talk. It's your show. And definitely, we are star children. You know, so why is it so unbelievable that they're coming and checking on us, you know?
It's not. It's really not. And it's clear that the government is known about this for a long time. As a matter of fact, this gives me an opportunity to mention to you, we actually had the producers on the show some weeks back, 4 or 5 weeks back, and that is this program that's out now called Unsealed. And there's Unsealed Alien Files, and there is Unsealed Conspiracy Files. And I'm doing the narration for Unsealed Alien Files, and in upcoming episodes, just, you know, look for it on your upcoming menu and record it if you can, because it's this is stuff I've never heard before. I've never read this stuff anywhere, and it's it addresses a lot of what you're talking about, all the stuff that really is right in front of us. But we're not really told what we're looking at, so therefore we don't really pay it that much attention. You know what I mean? Anyway, good talking to you. Take it easy, and thanks for being with us tonight. Okay, let's see here. What about, let's go east of the Rockies to Bismarck, North Dakota. Patrick, are you there?
Yeah, John, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for hanging in there so long.
It's good to talk to you. I like you very much.
Well, it goes both ways. Thanks for being here.
Well, you're welcome. You mentioned good and evil, and in South America, the yin and yang symbol is a creator symbol. It symbolizes that we're between good and evil, and that's, you know, what they think created reality. But I'm a schizophrenic. I get, you know, my disability benefits, and I'm in this apartment every day, and I'm an occultist and a magician too, and I experience spiritual energy with me every day. by doing rituals and visualizing and using verse or rhyme. But I wanted to share an observation. I call it morphological animism. And what that is a belief that life forms that are either reproducing or growing, they're receptive to supernatural spiritual energy, and that, you know, could be what's causing mutations or evolution, you know, with life forms. I wanted to share the observation that life forms are being blessed with spiritual energy that are reproducing or growing, you know, on Earth or any other life-bearing planets. But that's what I wanted to share.
Well, my friend, if you don't mind my asking this question in this forum, and if you do, then I just want to put it diplomatically. You mentioned that, do you just experience schizophrenia or do you suffer from schizophrenia?
Well, I hear a lot of voices that try to hurt me. They words have the power to destroy or heal. I hear people that want, you know, it's very painful at times for me because they're so strong, but I hear voices that tell me they love me too, you know? And, with schizophrenia, I hear, you know, telepathic messages, you know, that it's very destructive, malicious verbal content, but, I think I have clairaudience too, you know, where I can hear good things, but, what was the question again?
No, just if you were, if you suffered from it, or if you just, you know, in other words, if you were suffering as a result of having this schizophrenia, or if you were just experiencing it.
Well, yeah, I think I am suffering with it. There's sort of an element of whether someone can get in my head or not, and I try to defend myself and not let anybody get inside my head. But there's a lot of sadistic people around me, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of sadistic people everywhere. Well,
there's,
I can tell you this much.
Too.
Yes, there are, and a lot of them are hearing your voice right now and are sending good thoughts to you.
Yeah.
So enjoy life and live in light, my brother. And thank you for coming on the show and sharing with us. That was very, very nice of you. Take care now. That's Patrick in North Dakota. Well, how about, let's see, I think we have time for one more here. Thomas in Wichita, Kansas, first-time caller. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I am with you, John. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. I would recommend Google Bordello, if you're familiar with them. Start wearing purple. That would be my suggestion for lead-in music.
Okay. Going there now. All right, I'll get into it. You know, this is not supposed to be a music program, but music is a part of it, don't you think?
Yes, sir.
As long as we have this time together here, what's a big blip on your scope? Anything anything you want to pass along to the people? Anything eating you? Yeah, anything making you happy, making you cranky?
Well, what makes me cranky are people that repeat the same behavior and expect a different result.
Right.
My name is actually Thomas Jefferson, for the namesake of our third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson.
Very cool guy in our history.
Yeah, very much so. And one of the things that he said was, if you give me control over the money, I will make slaves of the sons and daughters of the fathers that founded this country.
Was that Thomas that said that? I thought that was Rothschild said that.
Oh, well, Thomas Jefferson echoed that in a letter that he wrote to George Washington when Alexander Hamilton suggested a central bank of the United States.
Okay, just a question, not a challenge. I'm rolling with you. Go right ahead.
But, but you're right. It's just that he echoed the sentiment and used it as a reason not to have a central bank.
I gotcha.
And now we have the private Federal Reserve, which was started in 1913, and that was more of a prophecy than a statement. And now our country suffers with economic slavery as a result of consolidating that many dollars in such a small number of hands. And I think that's what we see. When you're looking at your shadow government, your hidden government, and why it's difficult to track them down or locate them. It's because it's not centralized or organized, but it was an incident to consolidating that much money in such a small number of hands and not working together in concert, but still the people that control that money are the ones that are economically controlling us. Everybody that, you know, doesn't have that money, access to it. And you know, what they've done is they've created fiat money, actual money that doesn't exist. You know, and so essentially they're using something that doesn't exist to create people that do.
Well, I think you may have something there. You know, Rob Potter was on last night, and he was he said a lot of things about that was mostly spiritual in nature and the interaction of alien beings with us, many, many things like that. But one of the things that really got my attention was that, first of all, anybody can memorize that much stuff, you know, I'll listen to him. But he really spoke in a way that suggested that there was certainly some pith there. And it seems as though because of this information access that we have, this we'll talk about that tomorrow night. It's just there's just so much information that's available to you that it's impossible to, of course, learn everything that there is to know. I mean, that's not much of a stretch. But the thing is the things that are being perpetrated by these governments and corporations has become so visible now that unless they can just beat everybody to death with it or beat everybody to deafness with it, that they just no longer care. Their deal is becoming so transparent to everyone that the repercussions and the consequences, maybe some severe consequences, must follow. Thank you very much for calling me and part of the program. And we'll be back with more of your calls as we carry on through Friday night into Saturday morning. Naked Lines on Coast to Coast AM.